Okay, we're about ready to restart, folks. We've got two presentations before lunch, and at lunch we remind people about how to get up to the restaurant. Basically, just follow one of the locals who knows the way. Right. We're going to be down to one screen, I'm sorry about that. If anybody can't see where they are, then perhaps they'd like to move around a bit to the middle so they can see right in front of us. Okay, good. So, let's kick off then with Liz Carter. Asymmetries are no joke. Exploring the non-reciprocity of police interview laughter.
Hi, this paper looks at laughter in the police interview. Forms part of wider research I've been carrying out. All areas in which language and the law intersect. So although I'm definitely a linguist and a conversation analyst, I've been doing so in disguise in criminology and sociology departments for a while, which is quite good. So the main area that I've been looking at are different ways in which interaction is managed in the police interview, and one of these areas is laughter. The data comes from a corpus of 150 police interview tapes in which an officer or officers interview a suspect who's been arrested under suspicion of committing a criminal offence. Laughter occurred in 67 cases within these tapes, and the split was 25 of these instances of laughter were produced by the officer, which is 37%. I started out by analysing or investigating the uses of laughter by officers and suspects and how they are directed towards different purposes by these two types of participants, rather than the reciprocity of laughter in the first instance. I found that the laughter is used in different ways from ordinary conversation, so that's my first point of comparison. So it wasn't necessarily used to create intimacy or to invite laughter from other people, which is where this asymmetry of laughter comes from. And I thought if it's different on these basic levels, differently from ordinary conversation, maybe it's also used differently from other types of institutional interaction. So I wanted to explore the management of laughter. So using what we know about laughter and laughter reciprocity, it's usually thought of being a reciprocated event in ordinary conversation, and also in institutional interaction, including police interviews. For example, the more dominant participant reinforces their position of power and subordination of laughter by not reciprocating that laughter. Asymmetric laughter is typical of institutional interactions. However, when there's joint laughter in the police interview, it can build and reinforce relationships between the officer and the suspect. So it's usually non-reciprocated because of this power relation, but when suspect laughter is reciprocated by the officer, it can build and maintain relationships. And it can be used by officers to build rapport and align with the suspect's account. However, upon analysing the laughter present in my corpus, it became apparent that with one exception, laughter was not reciprocated. Across the board, there was only one case where there was a reciprocated laughter. So thinking about the ways in which laughter is used, so it can build and reinforce relationships. It's obviously not being used to do that because there isn't reciprocal laughter. When officers don't reciprocate suspects' laughter, that's kind of, we understand that because of the power relationships and they are reinforcing their subordination of the less powerful participant. But why is it that suspects are not reciprocating officer laughter, when clearly they're in the most powerful position, and you would think that interactionally they would start producing laughter to reciprocate. So this meant the research I conducted on this data was about the sequential study of laughter, but not about the study of sequential laughter. So it became apparent that the uses of laughter by the officers and suspects presented themselves as symmetrical. So the ways in which that laughter was directed towards, the tools of using laughter, was symmetrical, but the laughter itself didn't mirror that symmetry. Just briefly, and this isn't about really the tools of laughter that much, but the suspect would use laughter to buttress their position of innocence, whereas the officer would use laughter to challenge the very veracity of what the suspect is saying. The suspect would use laughter to mitigate their challenges, of what the officer's saying to enable them to produce dispreferred actions, such as disagreeing with a statement that the officer makes. And the officer would use laughter in very similar ways to mitigate potential breaches of the codes of conduct. So what I'm going to show is a selection of some of these cases I found in my research and discuss how laughter is being used as a tool, and then take a look at the non-reciprocation of the laughter that somehow seems to be different from other interactions in similar settings, so in police interviews and ordinary conversation and other institutional interactions. So the suspect here has been arrested under suspicion of hitting his wife overhead with an object. Here the police officer, P1, is reading out a statement made by the wife about her being hit over the head with the object. The suspect disagrees and says that in fact it was he who was hit over the head. I'll just read these out. But she can hear the object breaking into smaller pieces. I think originally she said she thought it was a bottle, but later on she's found a small statue, which is broken. Mm-hmm. In the house, and she's assumed it's that. Is that right? No. I've had the statue over my head. Have you got any injuries to your head? Yes. Your doctor pointed them out. Okay, if you excuse the amateur dramatics of reading that out, it kind of mirrors, hopefully as closely as possible, how that sounded. So the laughter bit here is being used as part of the suspect's account. The suspect disagrees with the statement being read out by the officer about the wife having been hit over the head. So the suspect is laughing in immediate response to that, and it's used to buttress the disaffiliative response that he's producing here, this word no, and the laughter literally softens and literally distorts this output, makes it easier for him to contradict what the officer is saying. We can also see the interactional difficulties the suspect has in the account that he produces. I've had a statue over my head, it's quite a stuttering start here. So we can see that it's very difficult for him to produce this, and that laughter is a non-lexical manifestation of that. So it highlights the prior turner's mistake and enables the suspect to produce this alternate account. And then there's a pause in response to this. So we can obviously see that the officer hasn't laughed in response to this. The pause is suggestive of the police officer not taking a turn. The suspect doesn't do anything about this, so then the officer then asks the question, have you got any injuries? So this pause here is really for the suspect to elaborate on what he's just said. But when this elaboration is not forthcoming, then the officer asks. So what the officer is saying here is directly about his head and doesn't take into consideration the laughter at all. Apart from the fact that the laughter enables, or is part of that tone itself, enables the suspect to produce that tone, but it's not topicalised or made explicit or responded to by the officer. In this extract, the suspect's been arrested under suspicion of possession of amphetamines. Why do you think it might be speed? Because over the past, I've took it before, and like it might just be when I've taken it and thrown and like left it there from ages ago. How long do you think it's been in your wardrobe? Months. Months, probably. Because I haven't done it in about 3 months. Who does it belong to? So again, this laughter is part of an account by the suspect. But here we can see it's the second in a series of three answers the suspect produces. The officer first asks, how long do you think it's been in your wardrobe? There's a pause here of 0.8 seconds, because this shows that the suspect is going to have to produce something that he doesn't really want to produce. He's going to have to align himself with knowledge of these drugs in some way. By putting an exact number on how long it's been in his wardrobe, he's shown that he's known those drugs are there the entire time, and then ties himself to the possession of the drugs. If they were there and he's forgotten about them, then there's a little bit of wiggle room. But here he's being asked to give an exact tie to these drugs by way of how long he's had them. So after that pause, he then does produce an answer because he has to interactionally, and he says months, which is quite vague. Then there's another pause in line 113, 0.7 seconds, in which the officer doesn't then take a turn. The suspect interprets this as his response wasn't satisfactory. And then he then produces another response, which is vaguer. He uses the word probably to make it more vague, and then also puts the laughter in the middle of it as well. It's quite pretty music. I'm not sure where that's coming from. Okay, and the laughter in the middle of it is also a non-lexical enactment of the vagueness coming in there. Then there's another pause on line 115 of 0.6 seconds. And then the suspect then elaborates even more, because obviously the police officer is trying to get some more information from the suspect. And he says, I haven't done it in about 3 months. So here he's actually put an actual number to it. He's putting an actual number to the length of time that he's known about the drugs. That's better. Which still doesn't seem to satisfy the officer, but after 1.6 seconds and the suspect doesn't elaborate anymore, the officer then carries on the questioning. But it's not about any of these things. He's not asking about how long it's been in his wardrobe. He doesn't ask him to elaborate further or put any other more specific answers to it. He then goes on to a completely different, well, same line of questioning, but completely different question: who does it belong to? So this, in effect, was satisfactory for the officer. So the laughter here has been used as a non-verbal enactment of to try and make it even more vague about the length of time he's known the drugs, and probably enacting the literally laughable properties that he doesn't know how long he's had them. So here's an example of officer laughter. The suspect's been arrested under suspicion of theft and deception. You do not have to say anything unless you wish to do so, but anything you say may be given evidence. Do you understand that? Yes. Okay, thanks. Now, you were originally arrested, is it right if I call you Kerry? Or what do you prefer to be called? No comment. Okay. You were originally arrested on the 6th of April this year on suspicion of 2 offences of deception. And that is that you, on that date, went into... Okay, a lot of reciprocal laughter there, I see that. So the officer's laughter here is highlighting, obviously, the ridiculous and unexpected nature of the prior term. The suspect saying no comment to right side on, you know, what she would like to be called. It also deals with the potential loss of face associated with the suspect completely rejecting the officer's polite aside. And also, if we look at the frameworks in which the interaction is being produced, it's a very institutional, formalised framework. You're originally arrested. You see there's a lot in the police interview. But this polite aside, it's a right if I call you Kerry, this is more reminiscent of a more conversational framework. Although it still is institutional, it's kind of nodding towards the conversational. The suspect responds after this long pause here by uttering probably the most institutional phrase that a suspect can produce, which is no comment. So again, it's the suspect completely rejecting the officer on this level as well. So the officer's laugh here, it's doing quite a few things. It's identifying the ridiculous and unexpected nature of the no comment. It's also dealing with a potential loss of face with the suspect completely rejecting his polite aside. But it's also taking charge of the institutional framework, or the framework within this interaction is being produced. So this laughter is usually seen or usually thought of as more of a conversational feature, laughter, although it isn't. It's usually seen like that. So he drags this interaction back to a more conversational framework before then returning back to the institutional there by repeating exactly what he said on line 32, again on line 38, you originally arrested. So he's taking charge here on quite a few levels. Okay. The suspect doesn't reciprocate this laughter, and probably quite understandably. But if we think about the parallels in the interview, literature does tell us that when the officer laughs, then it does, the suspect would normally be compelled to laugh with. And we can see there are 2 pauses here, punctuated with this rather loud, which kind of shows the officer is quite unsure what to do here. Faced with the suspect you know, rejecting his polite aside, producing no comment in an unexpected fashion. And also there's no reciprocal laughter as well. The suspect isn't behaving in the way that the officer would expect the suspect to behave, which is hence the long pause there before returning to what he was doing earlier. Okay, I'm going to speed through these two. Okay, the suspect here has been arrested under suspicion of GBH. This is about 25 minutes into the interview. The suspect has said no comment to everything so far. Okay, is it your intention to offer no comment to any further questions I should put to you with regard to this matter? No comment? You can't even say yes to that, eh? Mr. Gould will be exercising his right to silence, obviously, yes. Okay. And that is over that there. So the second officer here on line 62 is... His statement, which he's laughing at the end as well, is in quite a contrast to the first officer's, you know, very careful, making sure that he's not treading on the suspect's rights by saying, is it your intention, and so on. Second officer comes out with, he can't even say yes to that. Very similar to the previous example of laughter, but this is the verbal enactment, explicit enactment of what was done implicitly through just laughter in the previous one. And it is overlapped by the solicitor here in a kind of... reprimand. But it's interesting that this isn't reciprocated. We can see that there's A there, which makes it kind of into a tag question, so you can't even say yes to that A. And then there's this forced staccato laughter that does sound a bit like he's dragging it out a bit. It doesn't sound as kind of just the jolly laughter we saw in the previous extract. But the first officer doesn't reciprocate, even though it's a tag question, and they carry on. And let me tell you kind of thing, why does the first officer not reciprocate? And given the first, a very careful administration of checking if the suspect's going to say no comment, but that's okay if you do, I think it's because the first officer doesn't want to go along with the second officer and in laughing at the suspect and potentially damaging the suspect's rights. And this immediately follows the previous examples. And we can see that this does happen here. So... Okay. Ha, it's not quite a catch question, you know. Yeah, go on. Sorry. I've got nothing else in that case, as you've declined to comment so far. And your solicitor has said that you'll be exercising your right of silence throughout. I've got nothing else. So I consider it's worth asking you at this stage, unless my colleagues got anything that they'd like to say. So... Here we can see that the second officer, he's trying to retroactively mitigate what he's just done in his previous laughter. He's trying to show exactly why he was laughing, trying to account for it. So he's laughing again, showing the laughable properties of what he's just heard, and then explaining it further, because it looks as though he thinks the other officer hasn't reciprocated the laughter, because he doesn't get it. You know, it's not quite a catch question. But it's not that the first officer doesn't get it, it's that he's trying to stick within the rules. He doesn't want to laugh at the suspect and use of no comment. And we can see this in the kind of extra interaction or reprimand we see, unless my colleagues or anything that he'd like to say. So that's also non-reciprocated. And obviously something's gone on here, and if this was audio-visual data, we'd probably see quite a pointed look at that point, I'd imagine. Okay, so just to conclude, I've written down a couple of conclusions here. So laughter isn't responded to as an invitation to laugh, in my data anyway. It's not topicalised or responded to in that way by the recipient. It's often met by a pause, and the laughter is often used to perform a specific action in the interaction. And it's that action that's often responded to, so the laughter aids or enables that action, but the laughter itself isn't topicalised. So the lack of reciprocal laughter suggests it's not used to create affiliation, because that's one of the main ways in which laughter can be used, but it's more focused on being employed to perform these particular tasks. And these tasks are participant-specific, so they're directed towards different interactional tasks in accordance with the rights, roles and obligations of the parties present.
Okay. Thank you, Liz. good time for questions, observations, comments. Yes.
On the interaction in legal settings and stuff like that, there's a lot of work on how the interaction is oriented to the fact that whatever is said or whatever is done will be then used in either the same format or another format. And in the situation, by which same format I mean it'd be audio-visual recording, or another format would be a written document. You know, I was just wondering to what extent there's some sort of orientation within your data to the fact that this is evidence, is recorded, and that these the behaviour of the interaction is, the asymmetry is working around, the production of a later version of what actually is done at that moment in time.
Yeah, that's a really great question. Another area that I've been looking at, as well as laughter, is the effect of the silent participant. So in this case, it would be the physical presence of the tape and knowing that they are creating evidence, perhaps for later production in court. That is one area that I've been looking at. And this is all wrapped up in formulations such as for the benefit of the tape, but also in less explicit ways. So saying things like, I know it sounds daft, but I've got to remind you. So by saying something's daft and then still doing it shows that it's authored by some other authority. I didn't have time to show this one. That's going to go on. Okay. I had to hide it from you because I knew there wouldn't be enough time. This is where there was reciprocation. So I thought, okay, this has got talks not about reciprocation, but one case. And here you can see the phrase for the benefit of the tape. And this is treated as a humorous encounter because it's talking about, bodily functions, someone's stomach grumbling, and the officer's referring to the other officer by first name term, so by Pete. And the suspect treats this as a joke and is the first one to laugh. So even though it's an orientation to the tape and something that's used for thoroughly institutional purposes, the suspect is treating it like a joke. So it's not, I don't think the suspect really pays much attention or buys really into the officer's job of creating evidence, but I think the officer is very much bound into it. And they have to produce things that do sound ridiculous. And in this case, it's actually laughed at by the suspect. And the other officer joins in the laughter, and eventually the officer that produces this quite serious account that's been taken as a joke then has to concede that there are laughable properties by repeating for the benefit of the tape with a bit of a laughter through there. But it's mainly the officer rather than the suspect. So I don't think it would stop the suspect from laughing. Bit of a long answer with a slide.
Last question or observation? Nothing more to be taken down in evidence, I don't think.
Okay.
Thank you, Liz.
Let's
thank you once again.